Hello and welcome to Back Chat, your podcast all about scoliosis, yoga and back care. My name is Christine Jaregi-Berry. I'm a yoga teacher, creator of the Yoga Berry Yoga for Scoliosis community and YouTube channel, and this show is all about supporting you on your scoliosis journey. So if you're looking for practical advice and inspiration on how to manage the condition with yoga and movement, then you're in the right place. Standard workouts often assume symmetry, which of course we don't have with scoliosis. So if your crunches and other core workouts and core exercises simply don't feel right in your body, then you're not just imagining this. So today we're going to be talking about what is safe, what is not safe with scoliosis, and what are maybe some better ways to strengthen your core without gripping. So that's our topic. Welcome everyone to Back Chat. My name is Christine Jaregi-Berry and welcome to my channel if you're joining me here on YouTube. And I love that you're here. I can see a few of you already joining live, which is great. And if you are here live, you are more than welcome to join the conversation in the chat. If you're not driving, if you're not doing anything else, of course. So I will keep an eye on that. Feel free to ask any questions or contribute. If you have maybe some exercises that you are unsure about with scoliosis, or if you're thinking, well, what should I be doing more of? Then feel free to join me here today. Join me in the chat. So let's get right into it while I get you guys to get yourselves organized and get your cup of tea joining me here for this back chat. So I already mentioned with scoliosis, we have obviously the asymmetry, and a lot of the workouts assume that everything is symmetrical in the body and that when we strengthen the core, and then we're also strengthening symmetrically. So we already know that this is not the case. So the problem is that when you do something a little bit more difficult with scoliosis, we tend to fall into our scoliosis pattern. So if we don't have the time to adjust, we simply strengthen the muscles that are already strong even more, and we might be neglecting the weak ones. So this is kind of the vicious cycle that we can get ourselves into. And I certainly experienced this when I practiced Ashtanga yoga a long time ago. And Ashtanga yoga is very physical. It can be quite demanding. People always say about yoga is like stretching. Well, not every style of yoga is just stretching, and especially Ashtanga can be really super strengthening and super demanding as well. And I'm taking this as an example because it's something that I felt really during that time, that I was literally just strengthening one side of my body. So muscles that were already strong were just getting stronger. And then the other side was kind of completely neglected and didn't feel like I was getting anywhere. So let me know if you can relate to this. And I can see Laura is here from Argentina. Glynis is here from Bedfordshire. You're coming to see me soon, Glynis, aren't you? So really, really nice to see you guys here. So I think what we have to think about is, first of all, what are we actually thinking about here when we think about we want to strengthen our core? If we want strength, what does this mean? And if you're thinking of somebody that has a lot of core strength, who do you picture? What does this person look like? So I think that kind of gives us a little bit of some clues of maybe the type of thinking that we have to possibly change. So maybe just kind of picture somebody where you think, wow, this person has a really strong core. What do they look like and what are they able to do? Because I think sometimes we get confused with effort and strengthening. Because I think, you know, somebody who is strong, what does it mean? Does it mean that they are able to lift lots of heavy things? I would say yes, but they're, for me, somebody who is strong is able to adapt as well, right? They're also able to respond really quickly. They are able to move one thing from one place to another. It's not just a two-dimensional lifting things up over the head. If that's all you can do, then you're not strong. So for me, the variety is really, really important, and that your body is meeting the demand. That is what I would define as being strong. If your body can handle all the things that you want to do, and this doesn't really matter what this is. So if you can lift something super heavy, but you cannot go for a 10-mile walk, and that's what you want to do, and you start having back pain, then you're probably not very strong, even though you can lift something really heavy. So this is something where it becomes a little bit more personal. So maybe you want to think about this for yourself. What does this mean for yourself? What are the things that you might want to be able to do and that would help you in your day-to-day life? So if we're kind of getting a little bit clear on this, on the goal that we have. Oh yes, Glynis, yes, you are coming to see me, isn't it? Then we can kind of think about what this actually means for us and what are maybe the exercises we want to do, right? Because if we want to just lift things off the ground, then that's all we have to practice. But I'm pretty, pretty sure that most of you are here, you're not actually interested in just lifting something, right? There'll be other things that you want to be able to do. And for a lot of people, it is simply walking, and it's simply walking for maybe longer periods of time. So very important, if we kind of think about strength as something that is responsive, it's adaptive, it's adaptable, it's not something rigid, and it's not something gripping. Does this kind of change your picture of somebody strong? And I'm hoping it kind of moved from somebody strong as seeing something really muscly and bulky with a six pack to somebody who has the ability to do a lot of things, to be, and you know, strength is not just, again, it might not even just be walking for long periods of time. Is also meeting the demands, right? What does life throw at you? What are the things that coming your way that are maybe unexpected? If you are strong, you can meet those demands. So this is why I think we have to think about this idea of balance. So strength is not possible if we do not have rest and restore. So they do go hand in hand. And if you are in my Shine membership, you hear about this all the time, right? How I emphasize the rest and restore. Because again, it's simply strengthening. There's no point if you haven't learned how to restore and how to relax as well. But this is not what we're talking about. We are talking about strengthening, obviously, today. So we know we want this to be adaptable. We want it to be responsive. And we want it to be without that sense of gripping and tightening. And we've been practicing this recently in the classes as well. Can we stand in a way that feel strong? And you can try this at home, of course. When somebody says to you, can you stand tall and strong? Most of us, instinctively, we tense up and we, especially if somebody says stand straight and stand tall, there's this kind of rigid thing of like, oh, I need to adjust somehow. I need to correct my spine. I need to lengthen here, draw this shoulder back and all of this. And that adds tension and gripping. And that is not strength. It's not, because it's simply not sustainable. You will not be able to stand like this for long periods of time. So true strength will be, there is still a sense of effortlessness to it. This is why I was talking about the idea of maybe removing effort a little bit from the idea of strengthening. So that means more is not always better. And can we strengthen in a way that gives us support rather than tightening and gripping and simply just holding us? Because that's kind of what we want to get out of. Because we're already doing enough of this, right? With scoliosis, this is why it's so tiring. This is why when you go for long walks, when you're on your feet all day, your body is constantly adapting to gravity. So of course, if you have a major curve that is taking you over to the side, your body has to adapt to this. So your neck might be taking you the other way, the hips might be accommodating for this, and then you bring movement into this, it's exhausting. It does take effort, and we get ourselves into this cycle. So this is why, if we think about it as kind of creating a little bit more balance, and then thinking of it as creating a support system, because we do know that strengthening is really important with scoliosis. Otherwise, they wouldn't even do anything like bracing for kids. Yeah, so this is kind of the first thing. If you've been diagnosed as a teenager with scoliosis and it is kind of severe enough, that's the first thing they do. They stick you in a brace as kind of the first thing, because this then holds you in this shape, in this pattern. It prevents you from kind of going further into your pattern while you're growing. Sometimes nowadays they're even better. They kind of correct the curvature even. But the idea is that it creates this support system for you to be able to lengthen and not to go further into your scoliosis pattern. Good. So Laura is saying, for me, strength is achieving consistent body stability without thinking about that all the time. Strong core without effort or constant adaptation. Yes, I'm with you, Laura. I agree. We don't want to think about scoliosis all the time, right? It's boring. We've got other things to do to think about. We don't want to kind of get ourselves into this thing where we're just in our heads constantly and we're trying to think about what would kind of be the best way. Should I be adjusting this way? Should I be adjusting that way? What should I be holding in? Where should I lengthen? Because that's simply not sustainable. We want our bodies to accept this as the best thing, the best place to be. And that's the place where we want to strengthen. So can we see how it might not be the first place to get started, the strengthening part? Because if we just kind of go into, well, I'm just going to go strengthen, most likely you are going to strengthen in your existing scoliosis pattern. Good. So I wear a brace a few times a day, and I'm guessing you're an adult, so if you could clarify this as well. I would like to not think about it frequently, but the pain and discomfort doesn't help. Yes, of course. And I'm completely with you sometimes. And this is not a constant thing, but there are sometimes periods in our lives where we are constantly reminded of what is going on. But really, this should not be we should not accept this as a forever thing, right? Good. Oh, it's Janice. Okay. So, sometimes a back brace, you know, and this is why I was talking about this earlier. I was talking about it for teenagers, but I know I have some clients as well who wear a back brace, especially if they know they're going for a long walk or work is very stressful at the moment. That can really help to give you some support, and then you don't have to think about it so much. We don't want to start relying on it, because then it's a little bit, yeah, then it becomes really difficult when you take the brace off, of course. But we do want to think about, let's come back to this core strengthening idea. We want to think about it as creating your own brace in a good sense. And I like to, sometimes we get a little bit, brace is not the nicest word, right? What can we say instead? Laura called it, I think she called it stability, didn't she? Yeah, stability. We can think about it as support, which is a nicer way, I think, than a brace. But kind of thinking about this as the support system for especially your lower spine, supporting the lower back, because the lower back is designed for stability, whereas the upper spine is designed for movement. That's why our arms are here, because we want to be able to move in the upper body. The lower body is your support system. So if we kind of think about it that way, that's going to change everything. Because for a lot of us with scoliosis, we are very flexible. Tell me if you can relate to this. There's a strong link between being hypermobile and having scoliosis. So a lot of us don't really have a problem with not enough movement, especially in the lower back. But can we now see how this might not be serving us really? Because that is the area where we can get the most amount of problems. Even if you have a thoracic curvature, which is in the upper spine, and you maybe just have a tiny little curve in the lumbar spine, it's really, really important that you still focus on this lower area, because it's the thing that is giving you your support. So if that doesn't work the way it's supposed to work, then we're getting a lot more problems. Good. So Glenn is saying, at the moment, hoping things will improve with your help, but I can only walk using crutches. Yeah, so we want to get you out of that, obviously, and want you to be able to walk nice and strong. Good. Jill is saying, I think of strength as endurance more than muscle mass. I want to increase my endurance. Yes, I like that. Stamina, right? That's another word I would maybe use. Yeah, most of us, I'm not really interested in you know, the aesthetics and building lots of bulky muscles, of course. We want to be able to create the support in the long term. Good. So we're kind of moving away from this thing of, and I think you guys, especially those of you who've been with me for a while, you know this, right? We're not really interested in a six pack at the end of the day. And now we kind of know that a six pack is just the outer layers of abdominal muscles. We are interested in the support system. So they're called the transverse abdominal muscles that wrap around the lower spine and give us the support. So this is the good news, that we don't really need to do our crunches already, because most of these type of exercises, abdominal exercises, where you kind of go into whatever, sit-ups, things like this, evenly the twist, Russian twist and things like that, they are really there to strengthen the outer layers more, again, for making those abdominal muscles visible, which isn't really helping us. And it's not really the purpose why we should be strengthening anyway. Apart from that, It's also, as we know, the movement of flexion of the spine, so rounding your spine, will always take you further into the rotation of the spine with scoliosis as well. So even if you're just doing a simple crunch and you have a significant scoliosis, you are going to slightly twist. And that's not really what we want to do, especially if we do it over and over again. So this is definitely one of the type of exercises that, depending on who it's for, we might want to take out. So that might not be, especially not be the first starting point. Could be something that you introduce later on once you've got a bit more body awareness and you know maybe how to adjust this for yourself as well. The thing that I'm definitely staying away is anything that has a crunch, so a rounding coupled with a twist, and even worse would be a loaded twist. So loaded twist would be, for example, holding a weight. And they are called the Russian twists, where you kind of, where you're rounding a little bit, you're holding onto your weight, and then you turn from side to side. So these are kind of three different things that make it really, really challenging for us with scoliosis. So you're kind of throwing three variables. One of them alone we could probably deal with, but all of them thrown together is just usually a little bit much. So that is definitely something that we want to kind of stay away from. Good. So we talked about crunches, we talked about twists, we talked about loading. The other thing we want to kind of think about a little bit is anything that is asymmetric and that we're holding for long periods of time. So I'm talking about something like a side plank, for example. Now, a side plank, you really want to understand what it actually does and which muscles are activated in your body when you're doing your side plank. And obviously, I have interviewed Dr. Fishman a few times here on this channel. And Dr. Fishman has done a study on side plank and how doing it just one-sided could potentially reverse some of the scoliosis curvatures. Now, what he has found out over the years of his work, is it started to become more nuanced, basically. So before, he used to say, if your convex side is on the left, do the side plank just on the left side. Then he started to say, well, it's actually only for lumbar curves. So it only works for when the lumbar curve is on the left side, do your side plank on the left side. And then there started to be a lot more different variations, basically, that he brought in as more as he just learned a lot more, and he learned how other poses might also be obviously helping with different curvatures. I think what I learned from this is that it really, really depends on the person, and there might be so many other things going on. I would not be doing a side plank just on one side, because there's many other muscles in my body that are going to be working asymmetrically now. It's not just for my spine, but it's also, you know, the shoulder, of course, supporting you, the muscles in your legs, in your ankles, whatever. So there is more going on, and I am not interested in just thinking about correcting my curve. I am thinking about what is the best way to do all the activities I want to do, to have longevity, to walk well, to live well, to play with my kids, later on play with my grandchildren. Things like this are much more interesting to me, which is why I kind of moved away from this idea a little bit of just doing something one-sided, because the risks kind of outweigh the benefits. That's what I would say. You can give yourself other problems if you're doing something just asymmetrically. So we do like the asymmetric approach for scoliosis, which is an asymmetric condition, of course, but we want to do it in a much more clever way and in a lot more balanced way, so that it not just becomes one thing that we do on one side. Good. So Glynis is saying it can't walk but can touch the floor easily with his straight legs, right? So, okay. So you are super mobile in that department, of course, and this is not unusual. I've heard this many times. But really, is that what you're not that interested in touching the floor, right? That's with straight legs. That's going to help you look cool in a yoga class. But really, you are interested in walking, right? Am I right? You want to be on your feet and you want to go to places. So it's kind of getting our priorities right, and then we can do all the things that we want to do. Good. So talked about what's maybe some things that we want to avoid. Let's talk about the things we want to do a little bit more of. So the main thing, and again, if you've been to my classes, even if you're just watching my videos on YouTube, you'll hear me cue the breath all the time. So I will talk about breathing. It's one of my favorite things to talk about because it's so important for your core strength. And just this action of breathing, and you can just kind of try this out for yourself. When you're breathing in, and maybe kind of, you could either blow the air out, or if you know the Ujjayi breath in yoga, it's more of a breath that is at the back of the throat. You will feel potentially that there is this natural activation of those deeper abdominal muscles on the exhale. So especially in Pilates, we use this to our advantage. So we do something that is a little bit more difficult with our exhale, because naturally that is when our core already starts to engage. So that's really something that we want to, if we kind of fight this, we are not gonna get anywhere. So if we start to kind of synchronize this a little bit more, we can get some really, really good results. So breathing, the other thing with scoliosis especially is if you are supported in your core strengthening, and possibly if you are supported in a way that doesn't pull you further into your scoliosis pattern. So you might pad the convex sides of your curve a little bit just to get that little bit of derotation, and then starting to strengthen and then starting to activate the core from there. So we like those. We like the poses where you are supported. So this could be lying on your back. In Pilates, we also have a lot of side lying poses. Now there we really want to get it right with the amount of support that we might have on the side. So I would call these a little bit more advanced. If you are a complete beginner, lie on your back, be as supported as you can, and then we start our strengthening from here. So Glynis is saying yes, 100% want to stand and walk. Yes, not interested in touching your toes, right? Not going to make you a happier person. Good. Kathleen is saying, as we age and start to lose muscle mass, do we need to modify our programs to address this, or do we need to make sure we stay active? Great question. And we know, right, from the point of menopause, really, probably even before, especially as women, we are losing muscle mass. So it is just the thing that is happening in the body. Absolutely, I would say we have to modify our modify. To me, the word modify almost sounds a little bit like, it sounds a bit reductive, like we have to like take something away or do a little bit less. But we definitely have to change it, right? And for me, this has meant over the years, when my children were little, I did a lot of restorative yoga, right? Because that's what my system needed at that time. Now that I am in my mid-40s now, I'm prioritizing the strengthening, right? So this, and this means, of course, the core strength. Now, I have been practicing for a long time, so I am quite comfortable with my core strengthening. And then when I get the core strengthening right, I can then start to load the body a little bit more and using some heavier weights, for example. And that might be going to the gym or just picking up some heavier dumbbells at home as well. So this is something that I have started to modify as I get older. So I haven't taken away, I've actually added some things on. And yes, absolutely, staying active is the rule number one, because if you don't use it, you lose it. So take this as your mantra. You want variety, you want to keep moving. That's really the number one lesson, and that's really the number one thing to do with scoliosis. And that doesn't have to be crazy, lots and lots of exercise all the time. I'm working with somebody at the moment who's been my one-to-one client. She's in the practice transformation at the moment as well. And we stripped it right back, right? She had all these, she had physio programs, she had other programs, and she had all the things. But really, what the missing part was the part where she is actually listening to her body, responding to that. And that doesn't mean it's not all or nothing. So it's not either sitting on the couch, resting, avoiding exercise, or doing all the full-on physio programs or any other programs, full yoga practices. There is something in between, and that is probably the most important thing, because it's the little things and the things that you do consistently. And that might just be, it might just be a half downward dog. Some people call it the kitchen sink pull, right, where you have your hands on a table or something and then reach back with the sitting bones just to elongate. That counts as something. You know, it might just be a little bit of figure of eight or like a little mini cat cow, things like this, moving consciously, but it doesn't have to be a big thing. So it can be really the little things that can absolutely make a difference. So swimming is good for scoliosis. Yes, absolutely. Swimming is usually the number one thing that is suggested, because it's something very, very safe. You cannot do much wrong there, really. When you swim, you keep moving, you are floating, you're supported by the water, of course, so there's less strain on the body. Swimming is a great exercise, but really it's the exercises that you enjoy that are going to be the best ones. So if you hate swimming, if you do not like to be in the water, then just somebody telling you, oh, swimming is really good for scoliosis, shouldn't be reason enough, because most likely you're not going to keep it up, right? You, it's going to become a chore, and that's not something that you will do in the long term. Right. So I think this is really important to understand with scoliosis, structural scoliosis. It's not going to go away. Right. It's not like an injury or something that we kind of go through and then it's done. Your exercise is going to be in the long term. And if we think about it less as a chore and less as a, even the word exercise kind of implies effort, right? This is why I like the word movement, because I think it sounds much more enjoyable. And that really could be anything. And even better, of course, if we do it with that awareness, if we do it with the awareness of where can we maybe create a little bit more space in our bodies? Where can we lengthen a little bit more, but without the tightening and without the gripping, because that is not sustainable. And that's not really going to help us to be strong either. Good. So I'm just looking down at my notes to see what I maybe didn't go through. So we talked about the gripping and tightening. That's something that we don't want. A very big cue is if you stop breathing in something strengthening, then you're probably not strengthening, right? This is not going to be building anything in your body. It's not going to do anything. The other interesting part is your muscles do not grow during the exercise. They don't build up during the part where you're actually doing the effort. They will grow in the part where you're resting. So this kind of brings me back to the beginning, how important the two of them, the strengthening and the resting, are together. Good. Jill is saying, as we age, things shift. We need to keep adjusting movement routines to address changes. Yes, exactly. I don't do the same things that I did in my 20s. Exactly. Things change all the time. And I'm sure in 10 years' time, I'll probably be doing other things again. So it is about, and it's not just about age, it's also about what else are you doing in your life. Right? If you have a job where you sit a lot, this is going to be possibly different type of things that you're going to do compared to somebody who might be doing something really physical and working outside. I don't know, like a landscape gardener or something like that. There'll be different things, right? So we have to, if you like playing tennis or if you like playing golf and you do this as a kind of a serious hobby, your yoga or Pilates routine will be very different to somebody who doesn't do any of that and who kind of sees yoga and Pilates as their main type of exercise. It's all about creating balance and finding all the things that you enjoy, definitely, number one, and then kind of thinking about the strengthening. Again, I think if we shift that thinking about it as something that is adaptable and that is not rigid but meets the demand, I think that changes everything. So we don't want to feel tight and compressed. Not interested in that. We want to feel supported, of course. Good. So this was kind of, these were the main things I wanted to share. If there's anything else you want to ask, or if there's anything that I've missed, let me know. Let me know in the comments, obviously, as well. If you are interested in joining Shine at the moment, we've got a first month half price for Shine Plus, which is a great opportunity just to explore all the classes that we have. So we have a weekly yoga class in there. We've got a weekly Pilates class. Even if you can't make those times that are in the schedule, you can afterwards watch the recordings, of course, and you can be in touch with me. A lot of people do that and then ask me any questions before and after as well. It's just a really nice way to keep moving, because again, it's about that consistency. It's about staying active. And sometimes we need a little bit of accountability and a little bit of a reason to show up every day, really. Good. Oh, thank you so much. Lots of love, lots of blessings to you too, and to all of you as well. Thank you so much for joining me here on a Thursday afternoon for me. Thank you so much to everyone who's watching this afterwards as well. And I'll see you very soon for the next Back Chat. Bye, everyone.
I hope you enjoyed this episode. And if you did, I would be super grateful if you could leave me a 5-star rating and review, which will help me to create lots more amazing content. If you have any questions or suggestions, reach out to me on Instagram at yogaberry.scoliosis or visit my website at www.yogaberry.net.